Well, hello and welcome to Starting From The Pits. Today I am joined by an exciting guest. Having worked with the likes of Formula E teams and F1 Academy, he has had his fair share of paddocks. It is photographer and videographer Aaron Perellas. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for the invite. Very excited to be here today.
Perfect. So how's things going with you? Are you busy prepping for the season?
Yeah, well, basically this year is going to be a bit intense, you know, as the life of a content creator. And I think like people working in the media space, you pretty much start with not having a lot at the beginning when you start. And as you get to find relationships, people, teams, and, you know, get those connections going, really, it starts revving up. And I'm just entering 2024, which is going to be absolute madness, almost like a race every single week. So, you know, just cleaning out the gear, making sure it's all right. And yeah, we'll be traveling to Jeddah for the first weekend with F1 Academy, F2. So that's going to be very, very exciting, especially with a team like MP Motorsport, which have been just amazing at every sense. And this year we're extending our collaboration. So very excited to get it started.
Definitely. So let's take it sort of back to the start of your journey and this whole thing. Where did your love for photography begin?
Well, photography is quite an interesting one because, well, photography and videography has always been like something I've liked ever since I'm very little. I do remember that once YouTube launched, I was like one of the people that was just watching YouTube videos all the time, binging different types of creators. I was more into like the US kind of style of content creation, vlogging that was very popular in those times. And then I do remember that one little character entered the scene named Sam Calder. Everybody knows him because of he started this trend of doing like the super sick travel videos that everybody used to love. Those cinematic films that were like 10-minute longs, and he just explored the location in quite a unique way and telling very compelling stories with it. I was about, let's say, I'm going to say 12, going to dare that. It's pretty iffy because YouTube kind of started in 2008 and I was watching Sam Calder around like 2012, maybe even a bit earlier than that. I come from Colombia, and it's very funny because generally like gear there, like cameras, DSLRs, everything's like extremely expensive because it's all imported either from the States, from Europe. So I do remember I didn't have a camera at the time. So I started like with a phone. And then I asked my friends that had cameras to lend me their cameras to my school at that time. And that's where I really like started honing in the skills in itself. Just going out through Bogota, being very dangerous city, you know, you
can
take care of your belongings in itself. And I was just out there with a camera shooting everything I could. And that's kind of where the photography kind of like started for me. It's been quite a long journey with it, actually.
Yeah. Did you have any formal training in what you're doing now, or is it very much self-taught?
You know, it's a mix, I'd say, you know, because in university, I did try to take all of the courses that had to do with photography. It was very funny because I wasn't an expert at all in it. But since I practiced so much, I definitely think like photography being such a technical skill, the same as videography, really. It has its part creative as it has its side technical, but being very technical skill, the more you practice, the better you're at it. There's no magic to it. It's like when you're riding a bike, the more you do it, the better you're at it. So in that sense, I remember enrolling to all these classes, but since I was practicing a lot at the time, even sometimes a professor of mine, I remind him very well the other day, he sent me like a Facebook message like, "Oh man, I've been seeing your work. I'm very proud of everything you've accomplished so far." For me, it's insane because he used to sometimes like leave me the studios with the other student. Like, okay, you teach this lesson. And it's like, why? You know, there's absolutely no reason for me to be doing this. He was just maybe a bit lazy. It's like those PE teachers that, like, all the PE teachers are a bit fat and out of shape
Yeah, I
to
know what
their
you mean.
labs. But that was kind of like my first official photography and videography classes, as per se. However, I do remember always editing, always exploring the different softwares. Like I was telling the other day to my sister, like if it wasn't for her, because she had the Adobe account with the Creative Cloud, all that jazz, I used to like nag her off her and just practice all I could. It paid off very well because I got, like, since a very early age, like friends of my sister's for university videos. They wanted me to edit it for my sister. I edited one of her final videos for university. Nobody knows, but I guess it's out now.
Secrets out.
But yeah, it's been quite a ride. And ever since, I would say, like the f last 5 years, I've just been taking it a lot more seriously,
Yeah.
because I understood that there was like a path
Fuck yeah.
to be carved, especially within motorsport at the time. Generally, because lifestyle travel is very, very saturated. And at the time being, like, we were just starting with the drive to survive trend and whatnot. So like up to now, I would say like there's a bunch of different creators that are in the field that are very, very good. But back then it wasn't that prominent.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Kind of
it's
caught it as it boomed.
yeah, exactly. I think like especially in the last 3 years, we've been seeing a lot of very young and creative people like pick up like the skill of videographer, editing and photography very seriously, and done very good at it actually. I'm very impressed every time I go even and see certain creators that only work with footage that it's not theirs, and they just grab it off the internet and you see their edits on TikToks, and it's phenomenal,
Yeah. There's so much resource out there now as well, so you've got that ability to get to it easier.
Exactly. And I definitely think like Drive to Survive and like Liberty Media, especially into F1, has opened up the sport so much in terms of media.
Yeah.
I know a lot of mechanics and engineers that, they used to work as engineers and mechanics because they saw the entry to the industry that way. And nowadays they are doing their passions, which is videography and photography. So
Yeah.
there's been quite a heavy shift in the industry, which I just only think it's gonna get better, in terms of creativity, because there's a lot of stories to tell within motorsport,
Yeah, definitely. So in this saturated market then, how do you sort of make yourself stand out?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, right? I think A, it's luck at the end of the day. There's a huge factor in luck, because you might be the best photographer out there, and if, let's just put it this way, if you're not really fun to work with,
Yeah.
people just don't want that in their team. I think like the skill is obviously the most important one, because sometimes when you are reaching out to new clients or talking with these other teams, the most important thing that you need to focus on is, where's my skill level at?
Yeah.
Especially if you want to charge for this type of work, like it needs to go hand in hand that you are charging for the value that you bring.
Yeah.
And I'd say connections. This industry is all about connections at the end of the day. So
It really
it's
is.
like 3 points that are very, very important: being creative, being skillful at it, but also having luck
Yeah.
and making the right connections.
Yeah, I know I've spoken to quite a few people now in the industry, and I'm not joking, the amount of people that say connections are like the biggest thing that you can have in this industry. It's such a huge point that it's almost like it is a necessity, isn't it?
It is a necessity. There's the saying, it's not what you know, but who you know at the
Definitely.
end of the day. And this, I feel like motorsport is a very political industry at the end of the day. Let's be completely real about it.
Yeah.
Talking about giant banners that go at 300 kilometers per hour. That's it. It's
Literally, they
advertising
are.
at the best. So it doesn't get more simple than that. And their output and the way that they earn money for the sponsors and all that jazz is content. So content being the key fundamental area of teams, of drivers, to go higher up in the sport and whatnot, it's truly essential. Not everybody sees the value in it, which is a bit sad, but I feel like we as fans can definitely tell when that input's not being taken, and we see through it right away, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So, in the early days for you, what was a race or a shoot or a project that you've worked at that you can tell us about that really stood out to you and why you loved it so much?
I gotta say that my first year in motorsport was quite an interesting one.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, I was the social media manager and content creator for Venturi Racing Formula E team during their season 8 campaign. I gotta say that it was like, it's kind of like when you really like motorsport. I like motorsport ever since Juan Pablo Montoya was in the sport. My granddad was very passionate about it. And before I only used to work with fashion. So
I feel like that goes quite hand in hand nicely. Fashion and Formula One is very much a combination that works well.
definitely. I think like more so Formula One. I wouldn't classify it on it. I feel like
Although
they're
it is
trying
working its
to.
way that way.
Exactly, but at the end of the day, when you really like motorsport, you don't care if it's WEC, if it's
Exactly,
the LMS, and
yeah.
especially how I saw it at the time, it was like, you really want to be in the industry at whatever it costs. And I was working with Inditex at the time, doing socials and content for Zara, Pull&Bear, Bershka, Oysho, and yeah, out of a sudden I get a call from this guy named Forrest Baker. He's quite a big creator here in Spain, and he said like, yeah, I spoke to a friend of mine. He recommended your profile a lot. I have a huge winning Formula E team for you. Let's have a conversation. I was shocked because you just don't get a call like that all of a sudden. Spoke about it like more in depth, and officially I took on the role of social media and content creator, which, let me tell you, it's a lot of work, you know. That's I was taking a risk right there, but I think it was definitely worth it because I'm in the sport I love, you know. And I was like lucky enough that I got to be working with amazing personalities. That was the last season of Susie Wolf as team principal, which she's an incredible personality. Jerome D'Ambrosio, which now is in Mercedes. I had Edo Mortara as drivers and Lucas Degrassi, two of the most experienced and winning drivers of Formula E at that time. And I gotta give a shout out, of course, to Lizzie Brooks in their comms team. She has all the experience in this world, has around 25 years of experience in this industry. And me hand to hand with another person from their marketing side called Jules Jackson. She's now at Red Bull Racing. We were able to like create and do our first year within Formula E, especially for Jules and myself. And it was quite an experience because the team just did amazing, honestly. Like, it's like when you get to the certain level and first race, Edo Mortara wins, Lucas Degrassi's third. We get onto the championship and it's very, very intense. Edo Mortara is right in the lead most of the championship. Unfortunately, loses it by the end, just in the last few races, which I definitely want to see that guy win sometime, you know. But it was a very interesting season with a lot of challenges, especially being the first season in motorsport. I understood a lot about the industry, and as a creator, I think like we really got to explore a lot of that creative side of motorsport, and not only, a real breakdown of what is lifestyle, you know, because lifestyle can mean a lot of things to some people, and really is about pinpointing it in a way that it's engaging to fans and also in a way that the team is comfortable with. So it's kind of like managing both relationships. But it was actually sensational. As far as I know, it was like the most successful social media campaign that the team had ever since inception, even with Maserati on their name now. And engagement wise, it was quite interesting. We were pulling videos left, right, and center with another content creator I was with, Mintukas Grigas. He's Lithuanian. He produced amazing content as well, and like taught me a lot throughout that year. So it was like getting learnings from all of the sides, and at least I would value it a lot in that sense. Like I think like it really shaped me to be the creator that I am today, to tell the stories I want to be telling today. So yeah, I think like I would definitely name that. But F1 Academy and preseason testing last year, I gotta say it was a phenomenal experience working with MP for the first time. I've never worked with a team or driver that I have such similar values to. We
Got
knew
you.
what we wanted to do. There's like a very collaborative approach when it comes to creating everything with their marketing side, and we produced some great content all throughout the season, even though it was like just a few races. It was quite impactful for their channels, and I think like for teams, especially in those supporting series to F1, for drivers and teams, it's essential to have good content about them because they're trying to reach that next step, you know? So yeah, I wouldn't name those two. Definitely Formula E was probably the most intense one. You can imagine the first year of anything, but yeah.
And especially, I think Formula E, you not Formula E, sorry, F1 Academy, you were saying how it is essential for them, especially since they had a lack of video footage, like coverage last season. I think it was very much pivotal that you, somebody like you, is in that role. And like you say, it is essential, but it's the only way that people are seeing this content and seeing these drivers.
F1 Academy definitely is a special case. At the time I didn't understand it, you know, but now that I look back on it, I completely understand decisions by management to not showing the races. Because at the end of the day, what happened to W Series back then is like they broadcast every single race. They tried to be in as many F1 events as possible, and the wallet just dried up, you know. And what Susie Wolf and the rest of the team in F1 Academy, and I would like to highlight that Susie, I think she's amazing at creating high performance teams. I think she knows the people that she wants to be surrounded at, and the people that surround her are very good at what they do. And it led up to the Grand Prix in Coda, you know. And definitely seeing that the viewership was there for a series like this, especially after not like showing anything about the last few races. And it was just kind of like, to be honest, like I don't think any other team, rather than MP, were the ones that dared to do anything regarding F1 Academy, just probably like stories or something like that. And at least with MP, we did see the result yielding. The Abna, Hamda, and Emily did see it as well. We produced over 1.2 million views across last year,
That's mega.
which is incredible to hear now. But like, I just feel like we're getting started at the end of the day. This
Yeah,
is
love
season
that.
two. It's just the beginning of it, to be honest. And if you don't count with factors like your race being televised, which I think it's huge, imagine what it is. And especially when all the calendar of F1 Academy this year is with F1, you know. So yeah, very exciting times for them. And F1 Academy, I just feel like it's been doing great at what it does. Sometimes people don't understand those decisions behind it, but as I said, I feel like Susie Wolf is
She knows what she's doing.
she's a very intelligent businesswoman, and she knows what she's doing. So sometimes it's a matter of like wait and see, you know.
Got Roger that.
Interesting to how it progresses up to this point, because seeing brands like Tommy Hilfiger, like Puma,
Yes, a lot of good
Converse.
collaborations this year.
Very interesting ones. However, I understand, like, from what I see, I'm not sure if you see it the same way, but it's really helping to feed that pool of female drivers to go into karting and then go into racing. Like, it gives a bit of, I don't want to use the word hope because I don't think
Yeah,
it's
no.
hope, but it gives kind of like aspirational figures for young women all over the world, which it's phenomenal to see, you know?
You have kind of been in this content game for a while now, kind of since almost the rise of social media as such in this space. Because let's be honest, a few years ago, these teams were not putting their drivers as the face of their TikToks. Like, that was not really a thing. How
Yeah.
have you sort of seen that progression, and how, where do you kind of think this is all going to go from here? What do you think we can expect this year?
It's very interesting, you know, especially, and I'm gonna get a bit controversial here, but
Go for
like
it.
when, like for example, we very recently saw the Mahindra campaign that they had to take down
Yeah.
of the AI influencer that they wanted to take throughout the races. But let's, you know, think about it the other way. Maybe it's not always about the face of the team being the drivers, which is very personal and everybody loves that. But for example, the work of Lizzie McIntosh right now, what she
Yeah.
does with the drivers and whatnot, the teams, I think, like they will progress onto having a face of their team in itself to represent them. Now, I may be very wrong about that, right? I think it's
No, I know
very
what you're saying.
essential. I just think it's very essential to have somebody that can communicate the values of the team that is aside from the drivers,
100%, yeah.
because
They're
at
all
the
very
end.
media trained, and they're obviously going to say X, Y, and Z about the team. So it's good to have that perspective that isn't necessarily directly from the car.
No, and I think like the drivers have enough with racing during a race
Exactly.
weekend, you know. I do hear all of the drivers currently just complaining most of the times about like how many media duties they have to do.
And more
And
races.
exactly. There's a few drivers that really love this because obviously social media is also a business for them.
Yeah.
But I think like really standing out as a team nowadays, it requires to have a full team that not only feeds amazing ideas, but also are able to portray this more team-centric type of values.
Yeah.
There's great teams doing it out there. I think Ferrari are killing it at the moment. I think like when we talk content, Ferrari, Aston Martin are some of the teams that are doing it the best,
Yeah,
and
Aston spring to mind always.
they're daring to do what no other team is doing, and this talk social media language, you know?
It actually is, yeah. It's talking that language of those who are actually on the content, on the platforms as well. Because I know for me, like I work in socials, but we very much have a luxury professional kind of tone of voice. It's very business focused, and sometimes it can be a little bit frustrating. Like, I just want to put out a happy Wednesday and then have a bit of
Right.
fun with it. And sometimes these teams, I feel like Aston Martin's very much originally, it's very that business luxury focused, and now they're going saying like Alonso Pukki and things like that, and I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think like at the end of the day, as I said, this is an advertisement industry, and the people who are on TikTok and who are on Instagram at the time are the people watching these races. And if you want to engage more fans and actually get the people to buy products to be closer to the brands that are sponsoring these teams, you got to talk to in their language, you
Yeah.
know. If you don't entertain them, if you don't tell them a story, or if you don't make them laugh, you're not doing anything with them, you
Exactly.
know. It's just simple corporate regular content, you know.
Exactly. You're gonna swipe past it.
Right. So I'm very interested about the future of content creation, especially as I mentioned in the beginning, there's a lot of very good creators coming up. There's a lot of very funny people out there, and that they can really feed. But on another perspective, this is an industry, again, that it's here to
It
make
is
money at the end
business.
of the day. It's business. So it's like a fine line that we need to ride as content
Yeah.
creators. And also in terms of creativity in general, because at the end of the day, you want to produce great stuff for the teams you work for, but there needs to be synergy between them as I mentioned, with MP. In my case, I think like it's quite a collaboration that I don't think I've experienced with a lot of teams, and it's you got to take advantage of it,
Yeah, definitely.
right?
We kind of went way off piece there. That was interesting. I love that conversation. Let's kind of get into the nitty-gritty of you and your setup. I think all my photography people will be wanting to know, what is your setup like for a race weekend? What kind of kit do you have with you?
Okay, let me just start this off by saying I am a huge non-believer of what gear you have. You know,
Okay.
I think it doesn't matter what gear you have as long as you use it a lot and you know how to use it perfectly. But let's start. I am a Sony
Okay.
fanboy. So I only use Sony, and I have a Sony A7S III as my main video camera. I come with another camera for photography, which I just recently upgraded to the A7 IV.
Okay.
So that's my photography. The only reason I got that one, I was pretty happy with my A7 III, but I only upgraded because it has a flip screen.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Valid.
Well, I mean, it's sometimes necessary. But it's too, I think like it's been the best cameras I've used. Sometimes I go for cinema cameras. I'm gonna say FX3, FX6. And in lens, I generally don't see any more use than the Holy Triad, which is the 70 to 200, the 28 to 70, and then I have a 16 to 28. So I cover basically all of the
Oh, yeah.
ranges with those three lenses, and I personally don't feel I need more. I might get hate because I'm not a believer in like this gear type of stuff. I see people
Yeah.
in races that are just fully suited. They have that
Three cameras around the neck.
$12,000. No, it's insane sometimes the setups you see, and you see someone walking and they have like 40,000 on them, and they're not even doing it for the live like broadcast in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, that for me is ridiculous. I'm a big believer of minimalism. Use what you have, know what you have, and if you use it to the best of your advantages, you're gonna be pretty good at it. All of the lenses are, in case anybody wonders, is aperture 2.8. So they're all the same as per se. I don't feel I need anything else aside from that for races. Sometimes I bring a 360 camera in X3. And I do have a GoPro, which I barely use.
Fair enough.
To be fair, I have like a Ronin DJI RSC3
Okay.
Pro. It was the most expensive purchase I made for something I don't use. I bring it to every single race, but I use it like once every
Just in
single race.
case. You never know.
No, it's like I feel like you're either the type of creator that uses a gimbal or not, you
Yeah.
know. And if you use a gimbal, you're gonna have your camera there all the time. But at least for me, if I need to take it in and out of the gimbal, for me, it's just a pain in the ass. So I just use it once, you know.
Yeah, you've got to think of usability as well. Like, you don't want to be walking around everywhere, swapping and changing God knows what, because it's a fast-paced sport. You can't just be like, oh, let me just change my lens, and then somebody goes out into the wall.
No, and especially I feel like this. At least my focus within the sport is very people focused. I love cars, but I do feel like the stories within motorsports are within the people behind it, the
Yeah.
mechanics, the engineers, the drivers. Like I enjoy being with them more so than out on track capturing
But
cars,
yeah.
you know?
And I think
So
you in your pictures, I've obviously looked through your Instagram, things like that. I think you portray that really well. You can portray the emotion through your photos so well. I've obviously, like I said, I've had a look, and there's just some sort of like moodiness, but also a slight bit of like hope almost behind the pictures, where it's like, I don't know, it's very inspiring to just look at your photos.
thank you so much for that. I think like motorsport is a people sport at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I mean, if we put ourselves in a position of a team, like every race weekend is an opportunity. And most of these drivers are literally driving their funds out in most of these races.
Yeah.
And I've known a lot of drivers that just didn't have enough money to compete in the sport and have to get out of it for those reasons. So at the end of the day, that human emotion and like that moment where the drivers not only are trying to get themselves in the zone, but also, be as a team in unity with their team members is beautiful, and there are connections in motorsport that you don't see enough, and that they are truly marvelous, like Max Gunter and his engineer, Cyril, Edo Mortara, and his past race engineer, Jeremy Collison, which they're both now in Mahindra, but I don't think they were together precisely at the moment. In MP, for example, in F3, Franco Colapinto with his main mechanic. It's just connections you cannot really like explain, but you have to show. Amna and Hamda together as sisters, it's quite an
It's
awesome.
interesting,
Even
yeah.
Emily there. Emily and Hamda, at least from my perspective and my lens,
Yeah.
Emily and Hamda have an incredible relationship, and I love to see that, and I love to like capturing those moments. Speaking of Aunt Emily on that sense, I gotta say that capturing her first win was something that was truly, truly unique. It was so
Yeah.
awkward, like not knowing what to do with her win. She was like
Yeah.
very excited, clearly,
Of
but
course.
she didn't know what to do, and it was fun, we live for those types of moments where like drivers get to have their success, engineers make the perfect strategy, mechanics get the setup right. Each race weekend is very unique, it
Yeah.
tells its own story from beginning to end, and I really just hope I can that I am portraying that through the
Definitely.
content that I produce,
100%. You can definitely feel that emotion, and it's nice to be able to relive that through your content as well. So I love your content personally.
Thank you so much for that. At the end of the day, I would say like my goal with each race weekend really comes down to like making the fan feel like they're there,
Yeah.
that they can see behind the scenes and really get to know all the personalities from the team.
Yeah, definitely. So when you are working with a team, do they sort of give you a brief beforehand and say, right, we need you to capture X, Y, and Z. If anything else along the weekend happens, that's great. But are there any certain things that you have to look out for, work with them with, collaborate over, etc.?
So it's quite funny because before it used to be like that, very much of like we need to capture this and that. Sometimes it's needed now, but I've taken creativity very seriously in terms of what I do. Again, since I know social media quite well, since I've been working with it for quite a few years now. And I also do the content behind it. I'm in a very privileged position right now. Well, for a lot of people, it might not be ideal, but at least for me, I kind of work it as a creative director. I see the race weekend, what's going on with the drivers, with the team in itself, what's going on in the social space at that time, and I produce like a proposal to the team. So I kind of like build the ideas in itself and try to talk what's possible and whatnot. Sometimes the teams come back to me and they, well, either they love it or want to change a few things. It rarely happens that they want to change a few things, which
You're
I'm
just
very lucky of. No,
that
it's very good because at the end of the day, if you're able to show them if you're very good at showing them what you want to produce at the end of the day,
Yeah,
what's the look
vision.
and feel, what song you want to use, what do you actually want to do with the drivers? There's confidence, and when
Yeah,
people have confidence in your work, it just helps everything. So I work that way, and if there's anything extra or important dates behind it, there's two options. The team can tell me what they want from it,
Yeah.
or how I work with MP at the time being, which is kind of like, okay, we want to do something like this kind of, and
What's your
I
take on
build an
that?
idea behind it and a purpose, a script, and an actual production with it, which, for example, Jetta will be like that. There's some very cool ideas I cannot talk about right now,
I'm very excited.
but I'm very excited for that one. There's one idea specifically that we've been working really hard for, and I just hope that it resonates.
Love that. So obviously you are at the race this weekend. Post race, how is the editing for you? How quickly do you have to turn things around? Is it sort of like you do it while you're on track, or you get home edit, then it goes out?
So, kind of like my selling point is that I shoot and edit at
Okay.
track. So
Love that.
generally I arrive to track, I have my plan with me, which allows me to build a shot list. The teams generally share a schedule. That way I plan around it. And generally within my plans, I shoot content, go and edit, go back to the garage, shoot content. It's difficult in race weekends where there's a few series. For example, this week I'll have F2 and F1 Academy because there's short times between each race or each session. But Formula E for me, pretty good on that sense because all their format is in one day. So I shoot and edit on the same day. Generally, if there's like edits that require more work or whatnot, I try to propose them for the week after, or it varies, depending on the idea. But I do shoot and edit on track, send to the clients at that time. If there's any corrections or feedback we need to do, we do it right there and then. And generally, it's a pretty fast workflow for the content piece to be made for it to be published. So, which I think is essential because the teams own their own narrative at the end of the day. It's just difficult when you see a team that don't post, for example, their race results or their reactions, and then people are talking about it already in social media, right?
Somebody's gonna get there before you. So it's kind of essential to be. I mean, F1 and racing in general is a fast-paced environment. You need to match that energy. Yeah, I get that.
Exactly. And if a team is late or if a personality is late, you can definitely tell.
So I think I can probably guess what the answer to this is going to be, but do you have a favorite series to shoot?
Definitely, I gotta say that you're probably thinking of F1 Academy. I really enjoy that series, and I think like Emily, Hamda, and Amna are just incredible personalities. Very genuine. What you see is what you get, right? So it's very fun to be working with people like that. F2 I enjoyed a bit. I've only done one F2 race so far.
Who was that with? Was it with a
That
certain
was
team?
with Brad Benavides in PHM last year. I did Barcelona. It was interesting. I wouldn't know how to describe F2 if I'm totally honest with you. It's very hard to comprehend because it's a supporting race series and whatnot, but it kind of feels like sometimes it's like the ignored child of F1,
Yeah, I know what you mean actually. I honestly I would love to watch more Formula 2, but I just can't get into it, and it does, I know what you mean, it's like the forgotten child.
it's very difficult to explain, although I do think like there's some incredible drivers and teams at the
Course,
moment.
yeah.
Like these last two seasons, I think the whole grid of F2 has been extremely competitive. All of their drivers are good drivers. So I don't know how to describe that one. It was fun, but I don't know if the right word is if I loved it. It was more like, okay, so this is
This is
F2.
good. Okay.
But
What's
yeah,
next?
definitely F. Actually, I really, really enjoy F4 and Spanish F4 and Euro Cup 3.
What kind of
But
car
I.
are they? Are they single seaters?
Yeah, they're single seaters. Euro Cup is kind of like similar cars to F3, but not really. And I really enjoy them both, but I gotta attribute that to MP. The people within their team are amazing. And it's just a great group of people to be working with. You have a lot of fun with them. They have fun with you at the same time, So.
I feel like as well in F1 Academy, everyone, there's a lot of gratitude that goes around. Everyone feels, it feels like they're all really grateful to just be there, and anything that they can sort of help you with, help themselves with, they're very open to it. I've not even worked with anybody in F1 Academy, but that's just the vibe that I get.
No, totally. I think like as I told you from the beginning, I think F1 Academy is just in a time where they have incredible people behind it. Like Dauphin Biscay, they have great technical directors and mechanics behind the team. It's It's actually a series that I am just for the people. If we talk about the personalities that are
Yeah.
working within F1 Academy, is that you see the roster and you see like these guys should be F1, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, on my opinion, F1 Academy is sensational. What you see is what you get, as I said. And the teams are very, very genuine and they're happy to be there.
Yeah.
I think like in Formula E, it works in a similar manner because I feel like, again, Formula E is a bit forgotten sometimes.
Yeah.
But all the people that are there, all of the creators are great creators. And the most important part is that they all want to be there.
Course.
There's creators that I've seen that they don't do FE for half a year or a year, and they are just craving to get back into it, right?
Right.
And that's very important for the series, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, do you have anything coming up that we can know about? Any secret little projects that we can have a little bit of a something
Oof.
into?
It's a bit tough. I'm walking in a fine line, but I would just keep an eye on MP,
Okay.
Motorsports social media channels. We have a lot
Noted.
of great ideas coming up. And follow F1 Academy because this year is going to be very interesting. There's very good drivers on the grid, and the teams that are sponsoring it and behind the cars, I just think it will make it very, very interesting, especially all of the Middle Eastern tracks. We all know, if we're fans, we know that all of those tracks are very difficult tracks.
Yeah.
So I would keep my eye peeled on F1 Academy at the time being, and of course MP Motorsports.
Amazing. So where can we follow you and find your work?
Well, generally I'm a big Instagram guy, so yeah, I would definitely encourage Instagram. My TikTok skills haven't really flourished at the
Okay.
time. But yeah, I would just go into my Instagram. My main account is Aaron Perales C. Just my name and last name and a C at the end, and definitely on starting from the pits.
Thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I feel like this has been such an insightful chat. Like, this is the deepest dive I've done on kind of partnership, social media-esque. So thank you for that.
No, thank you to you. I think like it's very, very cool to have the opportunity to tell my personal story. And at the end of the day, I really hope that it helps encourage many other creators to go out and look for those opportunities, get those connections going, and really, as I mentioned before, just meeting that level of value that you can offer to the most so that you can be part of this industry in the way that you want to.
Amazing. I feel like that's a gorgeous way to finish this episode. Thank you very much.
Thank you.